see an improvement in the starting salary. However, the concessions on Sunday premiums and the graduate nurses scheme would only be granted as part of a comprehensive reform package. Gardaí and Cork are investigating the circumstances surrounding the discovery of a man's body at an apartment complex in the city this evening. It's understood his death is being treated as suspicious. Gardaí were alerted to the discovery of the body at North Gate apartment complex on North Main Street and Bachelor's Walk at 5:30. Dublin City Councillors have approved construction of another section of the Dublin Bay Cycleway. 2 kilometres of cycle track will be added at Clontarf at a cost of around €600,000. Councillors have also voted for an expansion of the Dublin Bike Scheme.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Continental Tyres. Worn tyres take longer to stop on wet roads. Why not check yours today?
Many areas will become dry. Scattered showers in the west and north, though, mainly in coastal areas. Outbreaks of rain and drizzle will develop in southern areas. Winds easing with lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. That's all for now. We'll have news again at 11.
You're tuned to RTE Radio 1. And now, Arts Tonight with Vincent Woods.
On the programme, Arts in Education, a new government charter. What does it mean for artists, teachers and students? Hello and welcome to Studio 8 here in the Radio Centre in RTE in Donnybrook in Dublin and this discussion of the recently published Government Charter on Arts in Education. The charter is signed jointly by the Minister for Education and Skills, Rory Quinn, and the Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, Jimmy Deanahan, and sets out a series of commitments and aspirations for the promotion of the arts within our education system, including a seemingly compulsory time and work commitment from individual artists and arts organisations in receipt of state funding. There are plans for reduced ticket prices for students in all national cultural institutions and broader access to these institutions. The Arts Council is asked to make various pledges, including the recognition of so-called arts-rich schools, and in the area of new technology, there's a plan to develop a portal site for arts in education. But what do the various commitments really mean? How binding are they? How will they be funded? When will they take effect? And how will they change or strengthen some of the good work already being done in many schools around the country? With us to discuss all this and more, Ministers Rory Quinn and Jimmy Deanahan, Orla McBride, Director of the Arts Council, John Coulihan, Professor Emeritus at NUI Maynooth, who's Chair of the Implementation Group to oversee developments arising from this charter, and Kieran Benson, author of the Keystone Benson Report on Arts and Education from 1979, and I think it's fair to say a sceptic on this new charter. Also in our audience, many people who've been involved in arts and education over many years, and a number of secondary school students who may indeed benefit from any positive changes and developments from the charter. Rory Quinn, Minister of Education, for you personally, how important is arts in education? What do you think an engagement with the arts can bring to a young person's education and development?
Well, I think education and growing up is about much more than doing your junior cert or getting so many points in your leaving cert. And there's an awful lot that happens in the world of education that is neither captured nor measured by what people put importance upon. I'll give you two examples. The Texaco Art Competition, of which I personally was a beneficiary, and next year, the Young Scientists Exhibition, which will be celebrating 50 years. This doesn't surface on the official landscape, and yet it transforms the lives of schools and of individuals. And I was fortunate to win a couple of prizes in the Texaco Art Competition. And the sense of validation that you get from a much bigger peer group than your family or your class or your school, and the sense of self-confidence that it gave to me was I knew I wanted to be an architect. Lord David Puttenham, with whom I'm working very closely in education, who's the big film producer that many of you will be familiar with, Chariots of Fire and The Mission and that, he's been around actors nearly all his life. And they all have the same story pretty much. And it goes like this. I was really never good at school, but I worked and performed in a play or a musical. And my English teacher, of all people, who gave me D's in every exam, said, "Putnam, you really were brilliant. You really were good." And it was the first time that that young person was actually validated within the education system. They didn't get 600 points. They didn't get straight A's. They didn't get this. They got validation, and they went on to become whatever they became as actors. And I think the arts has the same holistic potential to liberate young people and to validate them.
OK, the charter then. There have been various reports and papers on arts and education in the past. Many people looking at this area and making recommendations, a points of alignment document as a kind of forerunner to this charter. What's different about this, and practically, what will it mean?
Well, the difference is the fact that I'm sitting beside Jimmy Deanahan, who's the Minister for Arts and Culture, and that our two departments are talking to each other, and that education doesn't feel so defensive about other people coming into its territory, which historically had, and I think Johnny Coulihan might agree with that, you had to be an official in the world of education to have the permit to come through the door. And we are working together, and more to the point, our departments are working together. So long after we're off the stage, I think this momentum... Now, we're building on an awful lot of work that has been done before. This is not a completely fresh initiative. It would be arrogant and wrong to suggest that, and I know that's not Jimmy's. But Jimmy was the man who drove this. He was the person who persisted with me and insisted that we get involved. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world of education, and another initiative was something that people felt, well, we've got enough. But his persistence, he is from Kerry after all, ensured that we got the charter.
Jimmy Deanahan, why were you so persistent about this? Why was it something you felt so strongly about?
Well, it's from my own experience. I've been involved in the arts now for, I would say, almost 40 years. And obviously, coming from a town like Listowel, I was brought up in the arts. Every day I'd meet people like John B. Keane on the street, Brian McMahon, Michael Hartnett, and Eamon Kelly was a very close friend of mine, Brendan Kennelly. So I was really, I suppose, nurtured in the arts. And also, being a teacher, I invited people like Brian McMahon into the school, John B. Keane, Michael Hartnett. And I just saw the difference these people made when they came into the school. It was really transformative. And now I meet some of these young people all over the world, and they will remember the day the artist came to the school and spoke to them and inspired them and really changed their lives in some cases. So I'm totally committed to this. And this was one of my objectives if I ever became the minister. And I was delighted to meet, you know, an artist. And Rory is more of an artist, I suppose, than I am because of his background and because of the fact that he was involved in art competition in the past and was recognised as being a very good artist. Both of us are very committed to this. And certainly while we're in our offices, we will be driving this forward. And there are several elements to the charter. It provides a framework. There are several new ideas as well.
And we'll talk about those in a
moment.
But
the most important thing here is, Vincent, we have an implementation group and we have a set of actions and we have serious people representing the Department of Education, of the Arts Council, Johnny Coulihan, Mary Noonan, who was the chairperson of Pints of Alignment. So these people know what they're doing.
And I suspect they have quite a task ahead of them as well, and we'll hear from some of the members of that implementation group in a while. But the charter then specifically, I suppose one area where there's a lack of clarity, we'll say, is in relation to funding. There's no reference to how any of these changes will be paid for. And there's an onus on the Arts Council in particular, I suppose, to oversee various changes. You're talking about reduced ticket prices for the Abbey, for the National Concert Hall, for the cultural institutions. All of these things will come at a price, and how will that be funded?
Well, the point is reduced ticket prices, well, it doesn't cost the departments anything to do that. After all, we are the funders. The taxpayer is the funder for the national cultural institutions. What we are saying, in certain cases where you wouldn't have capacity audiences or expecting capacity audiences, then you could reduce the price of admission. And I was at the Wexford Opera Festival last year, and I met some really bright, enthusiastic students from the academy, music academy, and I asked them,